Sometimes I love everybody that is in this church, and sometimes it's overwhelming, the responsibility that I have to each and every person. There's always something going on that is urgent in prayer and needs, and sometimes it's just if I didn't know that God was in charge, I'd be a wreck. And so as I put this together, I ministered to myself. And so maybe you just want to listen to it, and I'll just preach it to myself and see where it goes. Genesis, the third chapter, and verse number 8, says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." It seems like if we're doing well with God, we're saying, God, I'm right here. Hello? Don't you want to bless me? But should we do something that we know is contrary to the will of God, to the word of God, we have a tendency to hide ourselves. And of course, that's pretty futile, trying to hide from God. He's a big God. His brother Little said, he's got more than 20/20 vision. He's more than Superman. He can see through walls, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. And I just want to make sure I'm doing what's right, so I don't have to hide from God. Come out, wherever you are. Lord, we ask your blessings upon your word, that you touch it, anoint it, allow it to go forth unhindered. Establish something in our heart, in our mind, God, that would reside there forever and ever and ever. Lodge it so it can't come loose, so someone can't take it from us. And let it accomplish what you would have it accomplish this night, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd also like you to turn to Psalms 55. My name is Jim, and I'm a worshiper. Forever. I'm just getting started. Psalms 55, and starting in verse number 3, David said, "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." Why? You know, is it because he just was living at a higher level than everybody else? Because there was always praise on his lips? Most of us aren't going to be accepted by everybody that's around us. And we saw that in the life of Jesus, but we also saw it long before that in the life of the prophets, and especially in the life of David. Verse 4, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Oh, that I had wings of a dove, because, you know, there are things that are happening in my life and people are accusing me of things that aren't real, but there's enough noise and enough people that would, well, maybe even put me to death. And so he's saying, I want to get out of here. Oh, that I had a super saver. Oh, that I could go someplace else for a little while, get some rest, you know. And then if you turn to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. Starting in verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by the morrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid himself down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You realize the journey is just too great for us. We're just not going to make it. There's going to be threats and persecutions and lies many times that we're going to have to confront, and maybe somebody that we are close to or love. And we could have the greatest demonstration as Elijah did, the greatest miracles happening. We just felt the Shekinah glory of God on our life just Sunday night, and then Monday, it's enough. Take my life. Can't handle it anymore. And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Have I not called you to do something? And why are you hiding? The angel of the Lord touched Elijah and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Verse 9, Elijah came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know, I touched you in song service. I've nourished you through the word. What in the world are you doing in a cave? Why are you running from me? Adam, where art thou? David, you sure you want to fly away? I mean, you know me better than anyone else in the world. You have seen the creation that I have done. And yet, when trouble comes, you have a tendency to fly away, to hide, or find a place that you can crawl into and just die. Are you hiding? Are you afraid of that crazy woman, the threats of Jezebel? Amen. Anyone here tonight living in a cave, had great victories in God, just like the prophet did, and then something went wrong in your life, someone made a threat, got a bad diagnosis, people who you were counting on now turn their back on you and said, you know what, I just don't want to spend any more time with you. So you ran to a place that you could hide out. God is still saying, what in the world are you doing? Why are you hiding? Why are you running? I've been in a few caves in my life, literally. Dark, damp, cold, empty. Not a place I want to spend any time in, except for a few bats and bugs. That's all they're good for. Nothing attractive about a cave, and I wouldn't want to spend much time there. Certainly types of animals use caves, such as snakes and owls and bears for hibernation. Wolves maybe have their babies and then they leave. Some animals just seem to need a shelter from a storm for a situation or for a time, but they don't spend all of their life. The joy is out in the sunshine. And that's where our joy is. Out in the sunshine, together, not isolated. Now, in the 19th chapter of Genesis, God delivered Lot and his family from destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, a great victory over sin. The whole city was destroyed, and then they were told not to look back at what God destroyed and what they came out of, and of course, we can't look back at what we came out of. We can't go back to Egypt. We can't look at what happened in the past. It can't follow us. God said he forgets it. Why should we ever remember it? But of course, Lot's wife, well, she just had to look back one more time. Take your Bibles to the 19th chapter of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all of the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all of the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zorah and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zorah. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. So God sent Lot and his family to Zorah, which means a lowly place, not a noble city. And when Lot got there, he decided it was too humble for him, and he wanted to dwell in the mountains, and he ended up in a cave, and he ended up in sin because he went someplace that God didn't want him to go. Sometimes we just analyze and say, well, you know, I know better than you, God. You know, whenever God has something for us, he is going to tell us very specifically. You notice that the cave experience comes after a victory. Sometimes we get down right after a revival. Sometimes we feel like, okay, I put forth enough energy, and now, well, I'm just going to kind of coast for a little while. Lot was afraid. Really, the only time that we should ever be afraid is when we know that we're not following the instructions of God. You know, if we're really doing what we need to do, there should never be any kind of fear in our life because God's going to just take care of us. But the day we say, I'm going to resist, I'm going to do it my way instead of your way, well, then we do become fearful. Elijah came out of his hiding place, and God showed him his power. There were, years ago, we went to Petra in Jordan. It's where the Canaanites were, and as you went through this dry river valley and came into this incredible place, Petra, where there's like, it looks like the front side of a city with great big pillars carved out of sandstone. But what was really amazing is that all through this entire face of this mountain, there were little caves, and that's where the Canaanites dwelled. They stayed there because they were afraid of the enemy. And when we're afraid of the enemy, when we're afraid of what could happen to us, we have a tendency to fortify ourselves and put ourselves in a place where we think we're hiding. Scriptures tell us that David used a cave when he was afraid. Saul used a cave. The children of Israel hid themselves in caves from the Midianites. They hid from the Philistines who raided their land and possessions. They hid in caves from the Amalekites. You see, it is in our DNA to go into a hiding place whenever we're afraid. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Maybe it's just me. You see, God wants his people out. We need to be outed, you know. We need to identify with God. It's like Brother Little said, the holiness isn't so much for us as it is a display of what God is doing in our lives. Because his main objective is to save people, not to make us comfortable. You see, God wants his people always to be free to do whatever God wants them to do. And then he will put our enemy in the cave and bar the enemy from doing whatever he wants to us and never threaten us again. You know what? When we go through some things and we see God's arm taking care of us, then we have the confidence when we come up against the situation again. You know what? God can take care of it because he's already. God took care of the lion and the bear, and now I believe he can take care of any kind of giant that's in your life. Would you turn to Joshua, the 10th chapter? Joshua 10, verse number 16. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave in Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemy and smite the hindmost of them, suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hands. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a great, very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities, and all of the people returned to the camp of Joshua and Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all of the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near and put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanged upon the trees until the evening. A cave cannot start out to be just, well, a hiding place. I'll just withdraw for a little while, isolate myself from sometimes even the church. But the hiding place can turn into a prison. and the things we are trying to escape from hold us as hostage. Sometimes we're just afraid of these things, and so we retreat. But you know what? Sometimes we just need to face them and kill them, get rid of them, and they'll never be a threat to us any longer. I've been in that dark, damp, lonely place from time to time. I've gotten beat up. I know what it's like to be hurt. I know what it's like to be hurt by people that I loved and trusted. I know what it's like. And there's a tendency for me, like everybody else in here, to retreat and go someplace and be alone. And there are numbers of people who used to sit on Pentecostal pews who have just retreated for a little while. I just want to isolate myself for a little while. And they were never able to find themselves getting out of a place that they were hiding. Elijah, what are you doing? You just killed 450 prophets? You called fire down from heaven? And now? My first reaction was, well, to isolate myself. I'm not going to bother with you anymore. I'm staying away from you, bustard. You know? You know, you can't regulate what comes into your life. I wish I could. I wish I I taught a Bible study last night to a man that I have been witnessing to for literally years. And in fact, I was shocked that he came to this Bible study, and this is the third or fourth lesson that he was in, and I taught on the oneness of God. And when I teach on the oneness of God, there is always an anointing, because it's the greatest truth there is in the Bible. Amen. And not only do I use all of the scriptures I can find in the New Testament, but I go back to the Old Testament when it says there is only one God, there's none beside me, I am your Savior. And I talked to him today, and he said, that was a great message on the Trinity. You see, some people will believe what they want to believe, regardless of what is in this book. They've decided that's where I'm going to be, and you're not going to pry me out of it. Sometimes I get discouraged by that, but am I shocked? Are you surprised? Absolutely not. We're speaking truth. Life isn't fair, you probably noticed, but life is too short to hold on to a bad attitude because of it. Your situation may be unfair and totally wrong, but so is Calvary. And as a result, we have freedom today because of some unfair actions that happened 2,000 years ago. If we stay in the darkness long enough, we begin to acclimate to it. Yeah, this seems normal. Maybe I can get some of my friends to join me in this dark place. Turn to Job 42. Chapter 42, Job. Verse number 10. So Job goes through all of this difficulty, loses everything he has. His wife isn't his champion. She says, why don't you just curse God and die? And then it comes to verse number 10 of that 42nd chapter, and it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. See, the turning point was when he decided, I'm not going to rebuke them. I'm just going to pray for them. And God said, you know, those are sweet words to my ears, because that's what I've been waiting for. Not for you to resent, not to hold a grudge, not to say, you know what, buddy. But when you start to pray for those things, that irritate us so much, all of a sudden God turns the captivity around and all of a sudden it says, here, I want to give you twice as much. Now, conversely, maybe it's the same. If we don't, maybe not only don't we get, but some is taken away from us, like Job. Maybe the whole lesson was all about this. You see, I've learned more from this scripture than most any other scripture. Because of it, I pray more for those who have hurt me or disappointed me, because it then rolls a large stone in front of a cave, not allowing myself to be isolated and not allowing those things that would destroy me to get out. You see, with Job, the cave was a retreat from his accusing friends. I just, leave me alone. First a hiding place, then a prison. And if God had not intervened, it probably would have become his grave. And I can't tell you how many people who have gone this route, just isolate myself a little bit, you know, and then stay there. And then stay there, and it literally becomes a grave because they never get back to where they were in order to feel the presence of God. Amen. Would you turn to 1 Kings 18? First Kings chapter 18 and starting in verse number 7. And Obadiah was in the way. Behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am, go, tell thy Lord, and behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hands of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it came, and it shall come to pass that soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I, the servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophet of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophet by 50 in a cave and fled them and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. When Elijah gets ready to have a confrontation with Ahab, Obadiah's spirit says, now let's not confront Ahab. Let's have a diplomatic approach to this situation. How many people in here love conflict? Don't you love? Nobody loves conflict. People will today walk away around any kind of confrontation because it just isn't comfortable for anybody. But some things just need to be confronted so you don't have to deal with them tomorrow and next month and next year over and over again. Listen, unless you confront Ahab, which really is our problem, we will be locked in a cave and never be able to come out. We have restricted our freedom because we won't confront confront some things. We just kind of walk around them. Was it not told to you, Elijah, that when Jezebel was killing the prophets, I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in a cave? Yea, Elijah, I am all for this message. But did you know that a silent preacher is not any better than a dead preacher? So we get to the place where sometimes we have to open our mouth, even if it causes some kind of confrontation in your life. Church, we have truth. We can't be so diplomatic that we don't distribute this truth to all generations, to everybody that's around us, even if it creates some conflict. Well, we saved 100 saints and fed them every week. Where are they? Shh. I've got them hiding in a cave. You've got 100 preachers that have been hiding in a cave and they're just preaching to each other. We can get to the place we're afraid to come out of this building with our message because there's going to be some kind of confrontation. So what we do is we gather ourselves in a place and we preach to one another because we're afraid of the confrontation. That's really what it's saying. What are they doing? Just telling each other. Elijah was the only guy who was saying, listen, let's go to the fire test. Let's call fire down from heaven. Let's see who is God, you see? And we have the goods. We have the miracles. We have the power. All we need to do is get out from where we are. Are we hiding because we're just not living for God? I'm talking to myself. Are we hiding just because we haven't been living for God or because of there's been past conflict with other people? We want to, take on the wings of a dove and get out of here? Or are we Elijah who has been threatened by somebody and we don't know what to do? Moses had the largest cave on record. 40 years in the wilderness cave, licking his wounds because he disappointed God at the point where he knew he was supposed to do something great for God. And so he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert herding sheep because he thought he failed God. He became content living in the desert, and his dream was in the dust because of something that he did. And I think sometimes we look at our failures and say, well, God can't use me anymore. The gift and calling of God is without repentance. If he said he wanted to use you 10 years ago, he wants to use you today. Elijah, what are you doing here? Come out. Wherever you are, God needs to use Moses for the greatest jailbreak on record. But before Moses could deliver, he first had to come out of his cave before it became his grave. Oh, we all have excuses to stay in. I'm not eloquent. They won't believe me. Send somebody else who's more qualified. Is this the same guy who would part the Red Sea? It's the same guy, but he had to come out first. The whole city of Nineveh waited until Jonah got his apology right. I wonder what he was saying in the belly of the whale. Was he justifying himself? God, you really, the reason. And finally, when he got to the place where he got the apology right, his cave, which was underwater, a little slimy, very dark, very damp, but when he finally repented, God opened the doors of the cave and placed him on the beach. And he went on to preach and save 120,000 people because he got out from where he was hiding. Well, you know what, God, if you'll just send me where I want to go, no, I want to send you to where you don't want to go. And then people will be saved. God is glorified when we come out. They buried Lazarus, and his grave was a cave, but Jesus was there, and he released him. You know, I think we're all in a grave somewhat. Then finally, God says, come forth. Come on. Hallelujah. Two ladies that are in my Bible study on Tuesday were up at the altar Sunday night. I mean, we're on lesson number 5, and they're both raising their hands and close to getting the Holy Ghost. Last night, they were in this class, and they were just so excited about what God is doing, I couldn't get them out of the house. You know? Well, why? Because they were in a grave. Someone opened the door. Said, come on out in the light. Would you turn to John chapter 11? Verse 38. Starting verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, we're talking about Martha and Mary and Lazarus dying, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, probably one of the most powerful. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I wonder when the angel descends from heaven with a shout. I wonder if that shout, we're all going to recognize our own name, come forth. Could it be those that are in the grave and those that are alive? And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Bound by death. But God had the stone rolled away. Was it a shadow and type of what was going to happen in just a little while? God didn't get any glory with Lazarus in the grave. And he doesn't get any glory with us in some hiding place. A cave couldn't hold our God. Angels rolled away the stone, and Jesus brought forth life for each and every one of us. And he held the keys of death, hell, and the cave in his hand. And we have been alive. I'm not going back to where I came from. I'm not going back to just going through the motions, having a form of godliness and denying the power of God. I'm not going back to the routine of just going to church and not being a part of what God's kingdom has required of me. And we all have our disappointments, and I surely have mine. They're stacked up, you know, because I have so much faith in people, but there are some times that I feel like, you know what? See ya! It's in our nature. It's in our DNA. When somebody disappoints us, we're saying, you know what? There's got to be a better place. And God's saying, what are you doing? Tell you what, I'll make you a little cake. I'll get you a cruise of oil. I'll send an angel in order to strengthen you. And before you know it, you know, you're going to gather the 5,000 that I already have that you don't even understand. Sometimes we can feel all alone, like we're the only ones who want holiness, the only ones who get excited about Jesus, because we're in another world most of the time. We're only here, you know, maybe 6 hours a week. But you know what? God is going to empower us to do greater things if we decide, send me God. Send me God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry it wasn't something that got you all excited and you could all jump up and down and rejoice. But you know, sometimes the reality is that it's not all shouting, it's not all rejoicing, but you know, hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. This morning, when I talked to this individual, and he said, I never heard the Trinity explained quite that way. There was something in me. Hello? Anybody home? Mr. College graduate, teacher, professor. But then my mind went back to these two ladies. Who don't have any background in church. But I stood in the kitchen with one of them last night, and she was telling me how grateful she was to be in this atmosphere. She didn't even understand that there was a place like this. Glory to God. It's sometimes bittersweet. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But I shall not be moved. Jesus said, are you going to leave me? Because he said some hard things. And his disciples said, where are we going? You have the words of truth. Hallelujah. I love God so much. And sometimes, some of the things we go through, we have a better understanding of what he went through. Some of the disappointments, I've gone to him and said, God, how could you handle it? How could you handle it? Moses, how could you deal with it? But you know what? There's a fellowship of suffering. There's something that actually draws us closer to God because of what we go through, and you realize, God, you did that for me. And the fact of the matter is, I was one of those. But thank God, he brought me out. He rolled the stone away. He said, come on forth. The altar's open. Would you come?